The date was sometime in the 1850s. I'm not really sure exactly when, but the place was Copenhagen. And the Danish philosopher Kierkegaard, he tells a parable of a theater where there's a variety show in its proceedings. Each show is more fantastic than the last. And it is applauded by the audience. And suddenly, the manager comes forward and he apologizes for the interruption. But the theater is on fire. And he begs the patrons to leave in an orderly fashion. Now, the audience thinks this is the most amusing thing that they have heard, and they cheer thunderously. And the manager again implores them, please leave, the theater is on fire, you must go now. And they think this is just getting funnier and funnier. And they continue to applaud even more, the cheers, and finally, he can't do any more than he can, so he just runs out, to which they think this is all part of the show. Meanwhile, the theater literally is on fire around them. And so, he concludes, will our age, I sometimes think, will go down in a fiery destruction to the applause of a crowd, or of a crowded house of cheering spectators. All of this begs the question, today we are going to continue our series of commonly asked questions. Today I want to look at one that has been asked, just so many times. So many times, and not just by modern believers, but perhaps every single generation of believers since Christ. Is this the last days? Is this the last days? And it may be surprising for you to hear that the answer has not changed over the years. The answer simply is yes. Yes, we are in the last days. Biblically speaking, the last days, or the end times, begin with the ascension of Christ and will last until the second coming. So biblically speaking, yes, we are in the last days. The problem is most of us don't look at the last days in that manner. But today we're going to look at it from a biblical point of view. The last days being, yes, we are in the last days. Next week we're going to continue and we're going to delve into some of those things which are more the end times, or as some of us call it, the tribulation. Are we there in the tribulation? So that's why we've got to continue for a couple more weeks at least. So, yes, we are in the last days. In fact, today we are one day closer than we were yesterday. I think that for many of us, this answer of yes, we're in the last days, is it just brings up more and more questions. And so, we'll try and get a lot of those questions over these 2 weeks. But the Bible uses terms like last days, later times, or the last hour to refer to events surrounding the return of Christ. The theological term is eschatology. Anybody ever heard that term before? Eschatology? Okay, we're talking eschatology. In the Greek, eschatos means last or latter, and ology is the discussion of, or the study of, or the doctrine of. And so we're looking at the doctrine of the last days. And there are two extremes that we really need to avoid when it comes to looking at this topic. The first is sensationalizing. For some, the tendency is to obsess about biblical prophecy by trying to fit every news headline into a tidy prophetic timeline. But Paul cautions Christians against that. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he says, not to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seemingly to be from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Some believers in Thessalonica had stopped working. They had stopped doing everything because Christ is coming back soon, so I don't have to do anything. I'm just going to wait. Well, don't do that. We need to continue the work. The work that Christ has given us, we also need to continue to work to feed ourselves. So don't get into the whole sensationalization of the return of Christ. The other extreme, then, is the trivialization. Others don't think about it at all. Now that we know the two extremes, does anybody fit into one of those? No. None of you fit into the trivialization of this, where we just never think about the return of Christ? Nobody thinks about the sensational... Okay. I find that hard to believe. I myself would tend to fall into the trivialization. I don't think about it enough, perhaps. But the trivialization is we just don't think about it. It's not that it's not an important doctrine, it's just one I don't bother with. Jude says this: in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. Now, I'm certainly not one of those. But I have been accused of someone who hardly ever preaches on the end times. If we can avoid both of these extremes, we will do well. But we must be aware, and yet not all consumed with this topic. A professor I had at Briarcrest used to say, the book of Revelation was included in the Bible to keep all the zealots occupied while the church did the work of Christ. We as believers need to be the hands and the feet of Jesus while we are here. If we wake up in the morning and God has given us breath, that means it is a day to be His hands and feet here in our church, in our neighborhoods, wherever God takes us. That is our purpose. Don't misunderstand me. There's no way you will ever miss the return of Christ. You can't miss it. It's not possible. Jesus said in Revelation 16, behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays awake and keeps his clothes with him so that he may not go naked and be shamefully exposed. What he's saying is we need to be aware of it. We need to be ready for it, but we not to be consumed about it. So there are five foundations or truths that we can be certain of. The first one is this: we don't know for sure when Jesus is coming back, but we are certain that he is. Amen? Did you know that for every one verse that prophesied the coming of Christ as a babe, there are 8 verses that talk about him coming back a second time? That to me is an amazing thing. David Jeremiah says that there is more space given to prophecy than almost any other subject in the Bible. For example, the book of 1 Thessalonians contains a reference to the return of Christ in every single chapter. The second foundation is this. There are differences of interpretation regarding the end time events. Now, I've learned over the years not to divide over disagreements regarding eschatology, because Bible-believing people have different views of this topic. But the Free Church doctrine states it this way. Let me make sure that I get this worded correctly. We believe in the personal, bodily, and glorious return of our Lord Jesus Christ with his holy angels when he will bring his kingdom to fulfillment and exercise his role as judge of all. This coming of Christ at a time known only to God demands constant expectancy and, as our blessed hope, motivates the believer to godly living, sacrificial service, and energetic mission. That's what we as a church believe. That is what our denomination believes. He is coming back. We don't know when. And that should motivate us to be his hands and feet each and every day. The third thing is we must avoid date setting. For the past 2,000 years, undiscerning and reckless Christians have been setting dates as to when Jesus is going to return. The most recent was supposed to take place on June 9th. It didn't happen. Folks, we got to stop doing this. I've once joked about the fact that, it's going to be, today is the 8th of September. Jesus is coming back on the 10th. Well, now Jesus can't come back on the 10th because I said he's coming back on the 10th. No, that's not how it works either. It didn't work out for every single date that has been set because the scriptures tell us in Matthew 24, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. Jesus is coming back, but he doesn't know when. The Father knows, but Jesus himself chooses not to. And the fourth foundation is this. History and future events are linear. They're not cyclical. What I mean by that is history is his story. And it is headed somewhere. Does history tend to repeat itself? Yes. Simply because there is nothing new under the sun. We sin. We make mistakes. We turn back to God, and God forgives us. Then we sin. There's a cycle to everything. There's a cycle, but history is linear. It continues to go forward and continues to go forward. It's all heading towards the return of Christ and all of that in which that entails. And moving on is the aim of prophecy is always practical. It's always practical. Well, we want to know when and the what questions. In Luke 18, Jesus focuses on who we need to be and how we should live in light of his return. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? That's the real question. It's not when is he returning. It's nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith? Prophecy is not designed to satisfy our curiosity, but to sanctify our character. Ultimately, The question is not when Jesus will return, but what we will do before he gets here. So let's focus on being faithful, and let's be his hands and his feet to the ends of the world. So with these foundations, here are 10 biblical signs of the end times, that it is imminent. The first one is the restoration of Israel. In his latest book called The Book of Signs, David Jeremiah lists the formation of Israel as a nation in 1948 as the number one sign that the end is near. Isaiah chapter 66 says, "Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall a land be born in one day? Shall a nation be brought forth in one moment?" Well, this happened a little bit before I was born, because I wasn't around in 1948, but apparently it happened just that quickly. Israel wasn't a nation, and then Israel was a nation, just like that. All this goes back to Genesis chapter 12, when God made a binding covenant with Abraham. He became the father of the Jewish nation, and it says, "And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." You see, God promised to bless the world through Israel. And many nations today are blasting Israel. There's anti-Semitism is so rapid, and it's increasing in our nation. It is going all over the place. And we see this especially with both Hamas and Iran. They have publicly declared, "We want to wipe Israel off the map. And when we're done wiping them off the map, we are going to destroy every single Jewish person." That is their publicly declared goal. Well, the first sign is the formation of Israel. The second sign is increased apostasy. In 2 Thessalonians, there we are, chapter 2, it indicates that there will be a great apostasy during the end times. "Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first." And this word rebellion in the Greek is the word apostia, which is where we get our English word apostasy. The King James Version calls it a falling away. The end times will see a wholesale rejection and deflection from God's revelation as more and more people fall away and become part of the fallen world. We are seeing 1 Timothy chapter 4 lived out in front of our very eyes. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the later times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings and demons. A current example of apostasy is the sad news about Pastor Joshua Harris. Anybody know Pastor Joshua Harris? He's the author of the book, I Kissed Dating Goodbye. He's a former megachurch pastor. He has publicly declared, and I quote, "I have undergone a massive shift in regard to my faith in Jesus." The popular phrase for this is deconstruction. The biblical phrase is falling away. By all measurements that I have for defining a Christian, I am not a Christian. He was a pastor of a mega church. He wrote books. And yet he is deciding, and this should shock us. But statements like this actually shouldn't surprise us. Because Jesus gave us this warning in Matthew 24. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will rise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. Maranatha, church, we must stand firm in the truth that is the Word of God. He is faithful to us. I have often said, and you will see it in many of my emails, I am in His grip always. Are you? The third sign is this: growing godlessness. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, listen to this, it says, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." There is no doubt narcissism and individualism, materialism, pluralism, pantheism, occultism, relativism, universalism, humanism, paganism, skepticism, rationalism, and racism are all on the rise in our culture today. And yet, we somehow claim to be the most tolerant culture ever. We are tolerant of everything except anything, or except anybody else's view. Isn't that kind of funny? Barna's president, Dave Kinneman, he released a result of a poll which shows how a new code of morality has replaced the code of Christianity in our culture. He discovered that there are six tenets of this new religion. The first tenet is the best way of finding yourself is by looking within yourself. Second tenet is to people should not criticize someone else's life choices. Number three, to be fulfilled in life, you should pursue the things you desire most. Number four, the highest goal in life is to enjoy as much as possible. Number five, people can enjoy whatever they want as long as those beliefs don't affect society. And number six, any kind of sexual expression between two or more consenting adults is acceptable. To me, it is clear that these six moral principles just prove that we currently have the lowest biblical literacy in all of history, because not a single one of these tenets fits with the Bible. The fourth sign is spiritual apathy. Have you ever had a spiritual conversation with a non-believer? And so many of them seem to have a who cares attitude when it comes to spiritual matters. Anybody else experience this? The world just doesn't care. Jesus warned in Matthew 24 how he will return when people are just doing ordinary things, going through life with a who cares attitude. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will it be the coming of the Son of Man. And yes, while Noah was building the ark, Noah preached that a flood was coming, and the people ate their food, and they built their families, and they lived their life without any thought that anything was ever going to change. They just didn't care. Ah, crazy Noah, he keeps building that giant wood thing. Says the world is going to flood. Whatever. Who cares? Let him do what he wants to do. Hey, did you see he put another deck on today? Man, that guy's nuts. They just didn't care. I see that in our society today, about how incredibly apathetic the world is to spiritual matters. You can tell them that their sin is separating them from God, and they go, okay. You could tell them that means they're going to go to hell for all of eternity, and they look at you and go, well, that's kind of rude. They just don't care. The fifth sign is a false teaching, or false teachings, plural. False teachers have not, they have absolutely been flourishing and will continue to become even more and more popular, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears, where they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Jesus actually said it like this in Matthew chapter 7. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. False teachers are everywhere. But I want to move on to number 6. Number 6 says this. Natural disasters. Whoo! Natural disasters. As we get nearer to the return of Christ, we see more and more natural disasters, according to Luke 21. There will be great earthquakes and various places, famines and pestilence, and there will be terrors and great signs from the heavens. Did you know that according to one report in 1970, there were 78 natural disasters? That's it, 78. That sounds like a lot, doesn't it? But in 2004, this number jumped to 348. Large earthquakes have risen by 450% since 1900. There may be a spiritual reason for what we are calling climate change, folks. But let's move on before I get too political on that topic. Sign number 7. Sinful scoffers. 2 Peter chapter 3 says, knowing this is first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. You see, a scoffer is one who mocks Christ, who ridicules the things of God, who laughs at the second coming and opposes the gospel. If you don't see much scoffing in your life, maybe you need to post more on social media something about Christ. I can almost guarantee there's going to be scoffing. Our eighth sign is international conflict. In Mark 13, Jesus says, "And when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom." The word alarmed refers to being in an uproar. Jesus doesn't want us to be disconcerted or diverted from our task. We are to be his hands and his feet, even when wars and rumors of wars are happening. Let me tell you, it doesn't take much for us to figure out there are wars and rumors of wars happening right now in this world. The ninth sign is this: a rise of antichrists. And I want to, this is a small a anti, did I put it? Yes, small a antichrists. Mark 13 says, "And Jesus began to say to them, 'See that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name, saying, I am he. And they will lead many astray.'" The word means, the word see means to watch, to take heed, to keep your eyes open. He is urging his followers to be on guard against spiritual imposters. There will be many, many messiahs who come and many to wander away from the faith. We can expect more people to make claims to be Christ. According to 1 John chapter 2, children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. Just last week, I came across two separate individual videos of two separate individuals, both of them claiming to be God, here to save the world. One actually claimed that he was Jesus Christ returned. Maybe it was because I was in Mexico and the guy thought he was Jesus. I'm not really sure, but he's not Jesus returned. Of that, I can guarantee, because he was born and he lived and grew up. He didn't just appear as the Bible says he will. But the final sign is simply this: worldwide gospel proclamation. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus says that the end will not come until the gospel has penetrated to the ends of the earth. He said, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Are you aware that there are 1.5 billion people in 6,000 different languages groups that still are waiting for a Bible in their own language? Let me give you the good news. There are 10 Bible translation agencies, including the American Bible Society, Pioneer Bible Translators, Wycliffe, United Bible Society, Biblica, and the Deaf Bible Society, and a few others. They are now collaborating to complete the task to translate the Bible into every single language, and they're coordinating their efforts so that when one of them is going to this tribe, three other groups are not going to that same tribe. Just let them do this one, and you can work on three other ones so that we can get this job done. They began working several years ago to create this central digital Bible library, which launched in 2010. They have since compiled over 1,100 portions and versions of Scripture. They've named their collaboration the Illuminations, which is a reference to Isaiah chapter 60, verse 3, which foretells the nations coming to God's light. Nations will come to your light and kings to your shining brightness. They now believe that they will have at least the New Testament translated into 99.9% of the world's population's languages by the year 2033. That is 9 years away. Does that excite you? Folks, this is amazing. With all of that said, we here at Maranatha can't just come into our sanctuary, look at our nice brown cushy chairs, and sit and go, man, that's amazing. I can't wait till it happens. We need to be working. We can't just wait. Each one of us is called by the Great Commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Amen. Do you believe that you have been called by God to do this? Because if you believe it, we can't just sit here and do what we've been doing. We have to share the gospel. We have to go to our neighbors, to our friends, to our coworkers, to our children, to our whoever. And we have to live a life that exhibits Christ. We have to speak a life that exhibits Christ. We can't just tell them and not live it. That doesn't work. We need to practice what we preach. The question is, what are you able to do with this? We started with the question, is this the last days? The answer is a resounding yes, this is the last days. Each day we get one day closer. The real question is, what will you be found doing? We can't just sit and do nothing. We need to put our words and our actions into action. Every one of us knows someone who needs Jesus. Do our words and our actions help them to see Jesus? We must become more active in our faith. We must be the hands and the feet of Jesus to those in the world around us because they desperately need him, even if they don't realize it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much that you came first and foremost. That you have given us a mission to go and make disciples. Father, I know that many of us are intimidated by that concept. But I pray that you would light a fire in each and every one of us. Your Spirit dwells within us as believers. That Spirit will give us the words that we need when we need them. Allow us to trust you in those moments. Father, I pray that we would live lives that are so on fire for you that people will just see us and see the difference. That you would encourage us to have those conversations, to share who you are, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. That no one comes to you, or no one comes to the Father except through you. Lord Jesus, we thank you that we are in the last days. We know that there is more work that needs to be done, but I pray that we would be faithful in doing that work. We do it because you came, you died on the cross for our sins. You made a way for us to be forgiven. Thank you for that forgiveness, Lord Jesus. Thank you for that old rugged cross. In Jesus' name, amen.